Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2005, with a release date of Friday, April 1st, 2016, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Radio amateurs reach out in support friendship to terrorist-hit Brussels. Hams share their memories of a childhood radio colleague, the late comic actor Gary Shandling. Georgia prepares for its 55th annual CUSO party. And oh yes, it's April 1st, and that means our special correspondent, Pierre Plidmelig, is back with some big news. That is, if you can believe it. All this and more in Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2005, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here is Jim Damron in 8TMW.
We open this week's newscast with two stories in the aftermath of the deadly blasts in Brussels on March 22nd. In the first report from Amateur Radio Newsline's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, we hear how one radio amateur's life was touched almost too closely by the tragic events.
Long-time contester and de-expeditioner Olivier ON4EI has faced a number of challenges during his more than 20 years on the air. But perhaps the greatest challenge in the Belgian ham's life came during his moments off the air in Ireland on Tuesday the 22nd of March. On that day, his wife phoned him in Ireland from the family's home in Brussels to say that she and the couple's 8-year-old twins had been just a short distance away from the deadly bombs detonated a short time earlier at the Brussels airport. The family ran to safety just in time as the second blast went off. Olivier's wife and daughters were not injured, but he left Ireland for Brussels the next day to bring his family back to Ireland with him on Friday the 25th for the Easter holiday. Olivier then announced on his QRZ page that he would still proceed with his plans to operate as EI1A during the WPX contest that weekend, the 26th and 27th of March, writing that his decision, quote, represents the resistance and a beacon signal of liberty in memory of Brussels bombing victims on the 22nd of March 2016. End of quote. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH in Nottingham, in the UK.
The Brussels bombings also spurred a heartfelt note of sympathy from one longtime ally to another. Belgium and Australia have been close since their soldiers fought together during World War I. Amateur Radio Newsline's Graham Kemp, VK4BB, tells us more.
A message from Fred Swainston, Vice President of the Wireless Institute of Australia, has assured colleagues in Belgium that the WIA stands in sympathy with the nation, a long-time ally, and most especially with the Royal Belgian Amateur Radio Union. The letter says in part, and I quote, "We are saddened to hear the news of the terrorist attacks in your country. This short note is to say that our thoughts and prayers are with you, the Belgian people, and those who have been lost or injured by these despicable acts," end quote. The Belgian Radio Union was an active participant in our WIA's recent ANZAC 100 program, marking the centenary of the Australian and New Zealand Army Corps. The two nations' enduring close relationship will again be marked on ANZAC Day, Monday, April 25 in Belgium, at Polygon Wood. Cemetery markers represent some 2,108 Commonwealth servicemen who are either buried or commemorated there from the First World War. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Late last month, the entertainment world lost a major talent with the death of Gary Shandling. But the news also hit hard for many in the amateur world, especially those who knew Shandling as a young ham. We hear from two of them. First, from a New Yorker with whom he developed a long-lasting, long-distance friendship. He spoke with Amateur Radio Newsline's Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The news of the sudden passing of actor and comedian Gary Shandling had a special significance to one person in the ham radio community, Alan Davis, K2WS.
It started back in the fall of 65. I was a fairly active ham radio operator. I just bumped into him. It was just serendipity, and we got to be friends. I have my old logbooks in front of me, and I talk to him almost weekly.
Shandling's callback then?
WA7BKG, Baker, Kilo, Germany.
That's right. Gary Shandling was a ham radio operator who had regular QSOs with Davis over 40 years ago. They developed a long-distance ham radio friendship.
At one point, Gary said, why don't you come out to the house? And I told him that I could do that, but I do have a disability. And he said, no problem at all. We will take care of you.
Davis said Shandling was a jokester right from the start.
I know he had a sense of humor. Gary had his dad print up this award called DIPPLE, D-I-P-P-L-E, dated February 1966. For his outstanding display of ignorance beyond the capability of any other radio amateur for causing undue interference on the amateur radio spectrum. Keep up the bad work. And on the lower left, Gary Shandling, his signature, chief of DIPL registration. He would send these things out. It was just a joke, and we all knew it, but it was hilarious.
4 years later, Davis again paid Shandling a visit.
And at that time, he told me, I'm doing gigs in Las Vegas as a stand-up comedian. I remember thinking, gee, I don't get it. He doesn't, you know, it didn't fit at the time. I didn't get it.
But Shandling did go on to a successful career as comedian, actor, and writer, winning 5 Emmy Awards.
He could joke around and all of that, but on the inside, he was, great guy. Getting a little emotional, so sorry.
That's Alan Davis, K2WS, recalling his old ham radio friend Gary Shandling, WA7BKG, and later KQ7KA, who passed away after suffering an apparent heart attack on March 24th. Shandling was 66. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ket Peterson, KC0DGY.
Amateur Radio Newsline's Jim Massara, N2EST, spoke with one longtime friend of the Shandling family in his Arizona hometown, where his young friends knew him as a good pal and a jokester.
Gary Shandling grew up in Tucson, Arizona. As a teenager, that's where he earned his first ham radio license in 1964. First as a novice, WN7BKG, and later as WA7BKG when he upgraded to general. An old family friend who asked not to be identified tells Newsline that Shandling was part of a group of teens who all got their tickets at the same time. Once licensed, they would hang out together, sometimes at Gary's shack, which his parents had built for him, in the family carport. There they'd get on the air and make contacts, mostly on 40 and 20 meters. Shandling and the other teenagers also hung out at a local ham radio club, where they were most definitely noticed. We would go to the local club in Tucson, sit in the back, and make fun of the old hams, according to the family friend. It got them kicked out of meetings more than once. Shandling, no doubt, was practicing for a future career. A few years later, Shandling enrolled at the University of Arizona, where he first majored in electrical engineering, but later completed his degree in marketing. That led to post-grad studies in creative writing and later a move to Los Angeles, where the rest, as they say, is history. Although many of those teenaged hams are still hams and still friends, over the years Shandling fell out of touch with most of them, and eventually he let his license lapse. But Shandling's old family friend says a mutual acquaintance was very close to getting Gary to take the tech test and get back on the air. The only problem? As a celebrity, Shandling was a very private person, and he was always concerned that his distinctive nasal voice would be immediately recognized on the air. Reporting from Atlanta for Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Massara.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including W9EAR, the EARS Wide Area Repeater Network in Vincennes, Indiana, on Mondays at 8:30 p.m. National Parks on the Air is a big deal event for the Department of the Interior, but also for Quentin Gardner, WQ7G of River Heights, Utah. He's been busy designing special QSL cards for each activation in his plans, beginning with the Pony Express Trail, TR-15, southwest of Salt Lake City. Listen for him on the air on Tuesday, April 5th at 2000 UTC until Wednesday, April 6th, 0200 UTC. He also plans to activate the Golden Spike National Historic Site, NS-31, in May, marking the 147th anniversary of the completion of the first transcontinental railroad. Yes, there's a custom design card for that, too. So listen for him from 2000 UTC, Tuesday, May 10th, through 0200 UTC, Wednesday, May 11th. His other intended sites include Mormon Pioneer National Historic Trail, the Fossil Butte National Monument, the California National Historic Trail, and the Craters of the Moon National Monument. You might say these national parks aren't just in his plans, they're in the cards. In Missouri, the Southside Amateur Radio Club has been making it clear that their special event station on April 1st is anything but a prank. Amateur Radio Newsline's Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, explains.
It's peculiar, and that's exactly what it's supposed to be. The QTH, in fact, is Peculiar Missouri, and the operators are hams from the Southside Amateur Radio Club. Now, these amateurs are no fools. They're marking April 1st by going on the air from Peculiar's Fire Protection District station on South Main Street, starting Friday, April 1st at 1900 CDT, right through 1700 CDT on Saturday, April 2nd. Work one of them successfully, and you'll get a custom QSL card celebrating yet another April Fool's ham radio event. To hear them, start listening on 80 meters around 3920 kHz, on 40 meters around 7220 kHz, on 20 meters around 14220 kHz, and on 17 meters around 18120 kHz. They'll also be on 15 meters around 21320 and on 10 meters around 28420 kHz, all plus or minus 20 kHz. Listen carefully, or your attempt at an April 1st QSO might just end up being a fool's errand. And that's no joke. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, in Topeka, Kansas.
Ham radio helps you live longer, right? Well, Lori, G2BUP, and Fred, G6YUY, are two amateurs in the UK who won't dispute that notion. They're the very newest among the newcomers to join the Radio Amateur Old Timers Association 40 Meter Net. And their appearances on the band on Thursday, March 24th, marked a special occasion. Both had turned 100 years old in recent weeks. The RAOTA, of course, is not taking any chances on missing this opportunity to talk up the participation of these most senior junior members. The association wrote on its website, "Although there is no direct evidence of casualty, perhaps being part of RAOTA increases your life expectancy. Why risk it? Join now." The club is open to anyone who has been actively involved in amateur radio for more than 25 years, whether licensed or not. Bud Frohart Jr., W9DY, wasn't just called an inspiration. He was called an Elmer. In fact, his name was Elmer. And the Madison, Wisconsin ham is widely believed to have been the very Elmer people had in mind when they affectionately referred to the beloved mentors who are guiding spirits for new licensees. Frohart, who was a veteran DXer as well as a champion of young licensees, became a silent key on March 22nd. His renown as the ultimate Elmer among Elmers has its origins in 1971, when the late Rod Newkirk, W9BRD, invoked his name in a column in QST magazine about such mentors. It seemed fitting. A life member of the ARRL, Elmer Bud Frohart Jr. was 93. 55 years after their first Georgia QSO party, the Southeastern DX Club and the Southeast Contest Club are prepping for another, which this year will happen on Saturday, April 9th through Sunday, April 10th. Organizers are expecting all or nearly all of the state's 159 counties to be on the air and ready for contacts. As before, individual awards and certificates will be awarded, along with two club awards, engraved gavels. Computer logging is required, and logs should be submitted in Cabrillo format. For more details, visit the website GeorgiaCusoParty.org. These are the last days for DXers to catch Makoto, JA7FGI, who is active until April 4th as XW7FG from Vientiane in Laos. Makoto is working on 80 through 6 meters using SSB, RITI, and PSK-31, with a focus on the higher bands. QSL via JA7FGI by the Bureau or EQSL. Led by Yuri, YL2GM, their team leader, operators will be working as EP2A from the Gilan province in Iran between April 16th and April 25th. They can be heard on 160 through 6 meters, but not 60 meters, and will be using CWSSB and RITI. They will have four stations on the air. QSL via YL2GM or by Club Logs OQRS, either direct or bureau. The centennial of the nation's parks has opened up new operating challenges to amateurs from coast to coast and beyond. Honoring the annual tradition of providing an April 1st report each year for Amateur Radio Newsline, our roving correspondent, Pierre Pulidmelig, returns to share this account on his very unprecedented way of working in one of the nation's foremost national parks, Wyoming's Yellowstone.
There is nothing like making ham radio history when you are marking 100 years of America's national parks. And never has there been a ham radio mode such as what I am working now. I, Pierre Pulidmelig, am the creator of such a special event mode. It is not the PSK, nor is the JT65. This is Geyser mode. My antenna is actually the historic geyser herself, Old Faithful. Is this spouting water, or she has become my vertical antenna. And that is, shall we say, so very magnifique. Mwah! Because of the minerals in this water, she transmits my 100-watt signal, and there is very little loss. Well, no, there is actually water loss. Lots of splishy splashy. So I must wear the protective plastic trench coat during the QSO. And the park rangers, they think I am maybe Inspector Jacques Clouseau? Ridiculous! Now, I have been able to tune this geyser to 15, 20, and 40 meters, but I am having no luck with the contacts. I suspect malicious interference. In fact, reports from the tourists say there is another Hams National Park station, and he is operating above something called the Super Volcano here in Yellowstone. Mon Dieu! He is using this volcanic hotspot to power his linear amplifier. Sacre bleu! This lead, he is jamming my signal. I wanted to make history, and now instead I must make the complaint. I must call the FCC. Mais non, I must call the park ranger. Zut alors! I am Pierre pulling my leg at the Old Faithful geyser in Yellowstone for Amateur Radio Newsline 7-3 and a biento.
Thanks, Pierre. But now I need a towel. With thanks to ABC Net Australia, Allen Labs, the ARRL, the Belgian Embassy in Australia, Chaz Cohn, W4GKF, CQ Magazine, DX.net, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, Irish Radio Transmitter Society, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, QSL.net, QRZ.com, Radio Amateur Old Timers Association, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Southside Amateur Radio Club, Twit TV, Wireless Institute of Australia, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2016, all rights reserved.